Hello, and welcome to Aquarium Dilemmas. I'm your host, Science Gal Aquatics. I'm Carrie, and this is my co-host,
Jesse, and welcome.
Yes, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this podcast with us. We greatly appreciate it, so thank you.
And today, I think we have a great topic.
Yes, I feel like I believed in the fact that you cannot keep betta fish with tank mates for a really long time. I don't know how long I believed that, but I believed in that for a really long time. And granted, it does depend on the personality of the betta. It greatly depends on that. But you can keep them with tank mates. And I'm really glad that I found that out because they can be great additions to certain tanks with certain fish. But again, it comes down to the personality of the betta that you're keeping.
Well, I think that's the other thing that's really misunderstood about them is that everyone does have a different personality.
Yes. From being the chillest,
from being the absolute calmest, chillest, to the most aggressive, there is a wide range in there that you can go back and forth with.
Yes.
And you do not know until you get that fish home and get it in a tank and quarantine it and check it out and kind of really get to know that betta a little bit, because they are all over the place personality-wise.
Out of all the fish that I've kept, like, you can say the guppies are generally peaceful. Like, there's a lot of fish out there that they do kind of play into that. But betta fish, it really goes, each one is completely different. I've had, like you said, we've had some nippy ones. We've had some pouty ones. We've had just some that seem more generally happy to see me. It's just, they're so different.
Oh, yeah. You've had some that are just chill. They're like, you throw whatever you want in this tank. I don't care. Yeah. Whatever. Some, no biggie.
Some 100% do well with others. And no matter what we say, it really, the whole point of this podcast is, yes, you can keep them with tank mates, but big asterisk, it depends on the personality.
I think there's two asterisks to tank mates with, with bettas is, one, their personality, big asterisks there. Second one would be planted. Make sure that the tank, there's a lot of either decorations or stuff, something to break up the tank and the bigger volume of the tank. Because, I mean, you can go down to a really small tank with a betta. You can do a five.
Yeah, you can do all kinds of things. But I think, well, we'll probably jump into that a little bit here, in a second. But I feel like a good starting point is, like, coming from my experience, when I first kept them, again, I've kept them off and on through my fish keeping year, like, off and on for a while. And when I first got them, I just assumed you couldn't put them with anything, and they went in, like, a really small container. And they lived, but they weren't living their best life, you know. So as I got more experience and I've learned things, yes, I feel like they do much better in a 5, 10, 20 plus gallon tank, heated, very planted. I feel like when I do have them with tank mates, the more plants I have, 100% the better they do, because they can't see each other a whole lot, especially with the one, like the 30 gallon that's full of Vallisneria that has a betta in there and some shrimp, but it's so heavily planted and there's a lot of room in there that they don't really run into each other. So I think there's some things that you can do that set you up a little bit better. But coming from a beginner kind of standpoint, looking back when I just thought they couldn't be with anything and they were in a small container, in that type aspect, I don't think tank mates would have worked out of any sort of kind because it was so small. And then as I got into the 10 gallons and the 20 gallons, and I learned that for me personally, a larger tank is easier to take care of. So I have larger tanks now. They do 100% better. So I think that when I kept them in a smaller tank and like you, it is possible. I'm not going to say it's not possible, but the more plants and the larger water volume, you're just going to set yourself up better. But coming from like a beginner standpoint, I think a lot of people, when they get into this, now I'm just assuming, I don't know for sure, but I feel like they're like, maybe I want something to help me with algae because they have an algae problem in their betta tank and they don't really know what to do. Water changes might not be helping, or there might be some kind of thing where they're like, well, maybe adding a fish for like an algae eater or something would be beneficial. I feel like maybe that's coming from a, I don't know how to say it, more of a beginner standpoint where you just have the one, you don't think you can have tank mates, but you want something to help you with algae
control.
You
want to combat a problem, but you don't know how to go about it.
Or maybe you feel like it's lonely and needs a friend or type of thing. Like there's a lot of things that ran through my head when I was younger that I was like, but I just couldn't add anything. I just had it in my head for so long that it's like, but they're just going to eat it or they're just going to fight with each other. I feel like a lot of people that keep bettas and it's their first fish maybe might want something to kind of help them with a maintenance. Or I feel like that's maybe...
Well, a maintenance...
I'm trying to think back maybe what triggered me into looking
a
into...
A maintenance issue or just... Mm-hmm. You have your betta and you like it, but you feel that there should be something else in the tank. You're missing it. Yeah. Just a single fish in a tank... It just doesn't seem right.
Well, for me, like, I like species-only tanks. I really do, but I feel like you're right. I think, like, I'm trying to think back and talk at the same time, and it never works. But, like, my mom, let's say, she's getting into fish, but she just doesn't want it to be lonely, or she doesn't want it to just be one fish in the tank. She's got a 30-gallon and a 55-gallon now, and she doesn't... When she goes into the fish store... to pick out fish like this last time, she just picked on base what she liked, not knowing anything about it. And I don't recommend that. Now she has what she picked works. And she does have a betta with angelfish and neon tetra. And somehow it just works, but it's planted and they have a lot of room. But I guess I'm trying to think back of what triggered me into thinking that, well, maybe I can versus it's not possible at all. And I feel like thinking back on it, it was probably I wanted help with something to control something because it was so many years ago. I don't know. But I feel like a lot of people have a betta in a smaller tank and it does work, but maybe they feel like their fish needs a friend and they don't know if they can do that or if it's possible. And I feel like that kind of... There are some things that do work, but it's you set yourself up better when you have more water volume
yes.
in planted tanks. But there are some general guidelines that I think that work well. Like if you go into the fish store, and my like I said, my mom goes in, and she doesn't know anything about like we try to tell her, like especially now, like I was like let's talk about it since you like it now. But she goes in, this is how she shops. She goes in, she's like, I like that one's pretty, I like that one, and I want all of these. That's how she shops, you know, and that sometimes that works and you luck out, and sometimes you don't. But I feel like the guidelines, if you want to try to keep something with your betta. And I don't know, you're Googling in the aisle or something. I feel like you should try smaller, nano, more schooling, shoaling fish that are in the same parameters, water conditions, water parameters, water. My mind just went blank.
Well, water parameters, water conditions.
Yeah, that's the word.
They like the same.
They like the same tank. Parameters like yes. This is like you the same
want,
temperature.
You want the same temperature, same water quality.
Yeah.
They don't need to be. You can't have two different drastic changes because you want to keep all the fish that you're wanting to put in said tank healthy and happy.
Yes.
So you want to look for fish of a similar quality of water parameters, and then just kind of moving forward with it. Just because the fish is small doesn't mean it needs to go in.
No, like I kept pea puffers in the past. They are super tiny, super cute and adorable, and I love them. But they are, just because they're small, just, I would not put pea puffers in with a bed at all. Like, no. Well, no. It's not going to work out.
Well, because if you know anything about pea puffers, they're aggressive and very territorial little bitty fish.
Little tiny.
Yes. Hence why they're called pea puffers.
Yeah. So if you're doing shopping and, you know, and you don't, there's a lot of times when I go into the fish store that I really like a fish and it's just something I'm not familiar with. So you're going to have moments where you're introduced to something and you're not quite sure. And so if I do want to try to add something to a bedded tank, like we said, you put in better words, but try to keep the same water parameters, the same temperatures, have a smaller type fish, like a tetra. I like neon tetras. And I feel like they can't be like super fast darting, if that makes sense, where they're a little bit more on the peaceful, not slow, but not just constantly on the move everywhere. I feel like those don't always do the best. Well, they're
not racing around the tank. Mm-hmm. The main thing is to not stress your beta out. Yeah. And every beta has a different personality. Certain things will stress it out more than others.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking for something that is going to be super peaceful and not stress your beta mm-hmm. out. So I'm not going to say doesn't have a lot of color or flash, but to start the list out, I would start from what I've learned and the way I have taken it. First, you need to understand your betta's personality.
Yeah.
And then if I was going to add anything to its tank, I would start at the bottom level mm-hmm. and work my way up.
Yes.
I would start low and go mm-hmm. high. And we'll get to that list mm-hmm. of the higher fish. But let's start down at the bottom. Mm-hmm.
And even before that, let's say you found something and, like, usually I will say my betta that I have is already in the tank. I usually start out, it's just alone, and then I'm adding something. Usually we do normally, I'm not going to say always, but we do normally start with the bottom dwellers first and try them out. But when you're acclimating, whether the betta's in the tank first or you're adding the betta into the tank when you're acclimating, that's when, for me, it's kind of a big, that's the first point, because if I've had them in the past when I'm doing the acclimation process, and either way, they're in the bag or they're already in the tank. When they spot each other, if it seems like they're just always flashing, you can just tell they're a little stressed. They're kind of going at the bag, or it doesn't matter if they're the ones being acclimated or they're already in the tank. Whatever situation it is, when they see each other, if that betta starts flashing and is just kind of pecking at the bag, or I usually don't continue the process then. I usually just kind of like, this isn't going to work out. I'll try something else a different time. But during that process, if they might be they might flare a little bit, but they're just kind of not that interested. They might kind of swim around and kind of look what's going on, but they kind of do their own thing. Then I will continue the process. But like I said, whether they're in the tank usually first, I usually do have my bettas already established in that tank, and then we add stuff to it. But I have had circumstances where I've had shrimp or guppies or something already in the tank, and I'm acclimating the betta in the tank. And I just kind of sit and watch that for a while just to see. That's the big, for me, stage where I even decide if I'm going to go through it or not.
Well, yeah, to see if, mm-hmm. well, number one, it's putting stress on both things you're putting into the tank.
Yeah.
You're stressing the betta and you're stressing the whatever whole process, else you're
they've
putting
been in a fish bag and all. The whole process is probably, it's a big stress. I would say, I mean, if you're getting mailed, if you're a fish and you're getting mailed or you're coming home from a fish show, it's just as a stress. You're getting a new home. It's just stressful. But that stage right there, I feel like when you're adding tank mates to a betta tank is a really important step that just kind of sit and watch and see, like, Are they already going after each other before I even let them go? Like, I'm not going to do this. But like we said a billion times, we'll say a billion times more. It really does come down to the personality of that beta. And that's a huge point where I just pay attention. I just kind of pay attention.
And throughout all that we have done, mm-hmm. I have noticed a very high success rate with the bottom dwellers.
Yes.
And we can run through that list pretty quick. And it adds a lot of mm-hmm. color to your tank in certain aspects, depending on what you're adding. Mm-hmm. I will go with probably our combined favorite to start the list out mm-hmm. of I love adding shrimp. Neocaridina. Mm-hmm. Love it. Mm-hmm. You can add a variety of colors. You can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. They seem to get along seamlessly. They just cruise around. They don't really mm-hmm. aggravate the beta. They just do their thing. And
yeah. But be prepared. I even though, I mean, it's we watch this tank all the time, and it seems like everybody gets along just fine. But depending, again, you're probably going to lose a little bit here and there of the shrimplets just because. Just because you'll probably, and granted, we have a lot of Neocaridina shrimp. So there's so many in there that we wouldn't even notice if one got eaten up or not. Honestly, there's a lot of Vallisneria and there's still a lot of shrimp in there. So I feel like, yes, it's 100% works. No one seems stressed. We have a good population of shrimp and the betta seems to do just fine. But at the same time, I do feel like occasionally we probably do lose a few shrimplets. So if you don't want to lose any, maybe not, there's a better combination for you. But I do feel like it works surprisingly well because we constantly see the shrimp scurrying around and the betta is just hanging out and just waits for food. And but again, it's a 30 gallon tank that's it's very heavily planted with Vallisneria and guppy grass. So they have plenty of hiding spaces and they don't see each other a lot. So if you have a bare bottom tank, even if it's a 20 gallon long and it's full of shrimp, but there's nothing in there and you have, you might lose a few.
Yes.
But it still is a good combination, 100%. I still highly recommend it, even if you do lose a few here and there.
Well, what's your next one? I gave the shrimp, mm-hmm. so what's yours?
Well, the one that I have kept the longest and I've had the most experience with keeping would be Plecosomus or Plecos. I feel like you still need to keep it with the smaller ones, the bristle nose. I like the clown Plecos a lot. They hide a lot, so you don't see them a lot. They probably don't see each other a lot. One stays underneath the driftwood all the time, and the betta stays at the top most of the time and kind of swims around. But I don't feel like I have any problems with keeping plecos and betas together at all. But again, saying that, I do recommend keeping with the smaller ones, like the clown pleco or the bristlenose plecos,
yes.
Plecosomus.
And another one that mm-hmm. I think is overlooked, highly overlooked, that you like is snails. You can mm-hmm. keep some really cool, like mystery snails. You can keep mm-hmm. some really cool snails yeah. with your betta.
I love keeping snails. I always recommend snails. But again, kind of like with the shrimp, you have to kind of keep an eye. Because if you have a snail that has really long antenna,
yeah,
they might get kind of nipped a little bit here and there. Again, depending, some leave them alone 100%, don't notice it at all. I've had others kind of nip a little bit, but it's another combination I really highly recommend. But again, keep in mind, depending on the snail that you keep. Like, I have just pond snails. They're nothing fancy, but I have them in all kinds of tanks. I have mystery snails and nearite snails are the ones I've also had the most experience. When I was a kid, I had the trumpet snails and the assassin snails. I've had some more when I was younger, but it's a combination I've I've kept a few times, and I highly recommend it. Just kind of keep an eye mainly on the antenna of the snail. Just make sure, you know, it's not getting picked on. But it's a really good combination that I highly recommend.
Well, and another one that I know is your one of your personal favorites, because they are so super cute and they do a great job, is corridors.
Yes. I love corridors. I was late. I was late to the game when it came when it comes to keeping corridoras. But again, you can't go wrong. They're adorable. They're cute. They keep the sand kind of shifted through and clean. And that's what we normally keep them in, is on sand substrate. I just love them. I do. There are some that get pretty big. So I like the ones that we've kept, which I haven't kept a lot of them. We've kept the Cori, or the Panda Corridoras and the Julii.
Yes.
But they don't seem to bother each other. They kind of just get along.
Yeah.
Again, we'll say it after everything. It depends on the personality of your beta, but it's a good combination. I highly recommend it. If you want a good starting point and you don't know where to start,
and you want to watch something cute scurry around on the bottom all the time, yes, get you some corridors.
Get you a group of corridoras. Some Panda Corridoras was the one that I started out with.
Or the Corridora Julii. Those are wonderful.
They work really well. And you don't have to worry, because I feed my bettas. I like the bug bites. And I fed my corridoras the bottom, I think it was the API. I think it was the API bottom dweller pellet. So with bottom dwellers, that was another thing that you don't have to worry about one eating all the food, because I would feed my betta something that kind of floated at the top, more of an something insect pellet type. That's why I like the bug bites. And then I would feed the corys and the shrimp and something that floats more down quickly towards the bottom. So I knew they weren't out competing each other for food, and the better fed they were, the less angry you are. When I get hungry, I'm mad too.
No hangriness. Absolutely no hangriness. And another good option that you may or may not see would be like a coolie loach.
Yeah.
Especially in a heavily planted tank. You may or may not see your coolie loach a lot. Yeah. But
we got, how many did, I think we got two. It's one of those that we've heard about all the time. We've seen them all the time, but we wasn't always necessarily able to get them. And now we recently got, I think we got two.
Two or three. I can't remember.
But that's how much we see them. I can't even remember. But it's one that I would highly, I haven't got to try it yet. I will put that in there, but it will work. It will work 100%. We can have this combination together as a team. We can both try it together. We'll put them together. But again, they hide so much. They come out at night. I have, when I was cleaning the tank we have them in recently, I had the light kind of shifted over so it was kind of darker. And it was kind of cute because they came out and they were kind of doing their coolie loach thing. And they were cute. But you don't see them a whole lot. It's like the clown pleco. You don't see them a whole lot. So if I don't see them a whole lot, they'll get along. It'd be a good combination.
Well, and that kind of wraps up the bottom dwellers there. And it's just a good place to start. Yeah. Especially if you're trying to build, you're new to this or whatever, you're trying to build a quote unquote community type tank or tank mates. I consider it a community tank. In my own personal opinion, this is my own personal opinion, anytime you're putting multiple species of fish in a tank, I consider it a community tank. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to put a betta in with some bottom dwellers, and then you're also thinking about adding some more from this list, then to me, you have built a community tank. Mm-hmm. That is how my brain works.
Yes.
So moving up to a little more fishy level, as far as moving up the tier from the bottom, moving up, what do you got for fish that are going to be swimming around, might encounter the betta a little bit more?
Well, I think a really popular choice that I've tried, my dad tries, he has more success with it than I do, but I feel like it's a really good fish. Now, there's a lot of, I will say, tetra. There's a lot of different tetra out there. There's a lot of tetra out there that I most definitely want to try 100%, but I haven't got to yet. But I've had the most success. My dad's had the most success with neon tetra. But I feel like with tetra, as long as they're a smaller, because I just had better luck with smaller, more schooling type fish like the neon tetra when it comes to tank mates with bettas. But there's so many different kinds out there that there's a lot of combinations that would work as long as they're not the super fast, darty, constantly on the move. But like the neon tetra, like they're beautiful and they eat really quick, but you can just sit and watch them and they're sometimes they just kind of chill in a group. They're not constant. They have
they're almost periods.
Well, they're schooling, but they have periods where they calm down a little bit. Some fish, they're just constantly on. They never slow down. They're just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I don't necessarily recommend those type tetra or a larger tetra. Some of them, there's some out there that can be a little bit more aggressive, a little nippy, but like the cardinal tetra, the neon tetra, our long skirt tetra upstairs are really chill and mellow. Granted, they have longer fins, but I think tetras work really well. And I wish I have had more experience keeping up more of a variety of them, but the ones I've had the most success with keeping as tank mates are the neon tetras, the cardinal tetra. But there's so many out there that I think are good choices. Just make sure you do some research on the ones that you keep to make sure that they don't get larger and or there's the more aggressive kind. But there's plenty to choose of. Plenty to choose from when it comes to tetra. And I think it's a really good fish to keep. Just the tetras that are smaller, more generally peaceful, more of the schooling, because it's hard when they kind of swim as one, it's hard to pick on one. Yes. If that makes sense. So it just, I feel like it's a really good choice to have as tank mates. Just make sure you know which ones you're keeping.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. There's so many different types of tetra. Mm-hmm. We can't even go through it. Well, the podcast would be too long if we went through the list of tetra. The list just goes forever.
We haven't kept. There's so many out there, and I've seen so many, but it's just I haven't personally kept like a lot. I've kept the Emperor. I've kept the long skirt. I've kept the neon. The cardinal. I've kept a few, but like the Romney note, there's other ones out there that I think would be compatible. I just haven't personally got to try it yet, but there's just so many out there that I feel like would be a good starting point. They just need to be on the smaller, peaceful, shorter finned, not super darty. And there are a few tetra out there that are a little nippier. And even though I haven't kept them, just be aware that they're out there. But when it comes to tank mates and bettas, tetra work great. Just make sure you get the right ones.
Yes. And I think for the new or savvy doesn't want to spend a bunch of money to get some more tank mates, I think there's some other really good options out there mm-hmm. that are wonderful fish, in my opinion, mm-hmm. that you can get for super cheap. And depending on the size of your tank, you can put quite a few in there and it'd be okay. Mm-hmm. Would be one of my personal favorites and yours as well. Mm-hmm. Guppies.
Yeah.
Like Endler guppies.
I feel like Endler guppies do a lot better with the fancy guppies. And granted, I'll say this again, you probably, if you've listened to this a while, you know I've kept guppies That was the first fish that I've kept. So I've kept them with a lot of different combinations. And sometimes the fancy guppies work 100%. Big, beautiful, colorful tails, and they just got along great. I've had others that they just, it worked, but they just, they had periods where they did kind of nip at each other. But when it came to the inler guppies, more of the more natural type guppies, they're a little smaller. They're a little less colorful. They have smaller fins. They can get out of the way faster. Those are the ones that I've had the most luck with keeping out of the guppies. But I have had success with fancy guppies too. It's just I've had more good luck when it came to the inlers. And with platies and mollies and swordtails, I haven't even tried it. I'm sure there's some out there that work great. But the only ones when it comes to the live bears that I have honestly tried the combination with was guppies. And again, it comes down to the personality of the betta. It comes down to the personality of the guppies and how well they get along. And sometimes it works great and sometimes it don't. But I do have a lot better luck just starting off with inlers. Inler guppies. Just get along a little bit better.
And another one that's not really... It's not in that class at all, but they're wonderful fish. They're a little...
Oh, wait. But going back to the guppies, I will say if you don't want to lose, it's kind of like the shrimplets. You probably will lose some fry here and there. It's not like a massive, like they're going to eat every single one. I'm still going to have plenty that grow up, but you probably will lose a fry here and there if you do keep the combination. So if you don't want to lose any fry at all, you want to keep every single one, you might not try it. But if you're okay with losing a few here and there, but still growing the population of your guppies or your inlers, then go for it.
Well, and that will be the same with my next one, would be the white cloud minnow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good combination. I didn't try it for very long, but before I moved them out, I moved the white clouds outside, but it did, the time that I did try it, it worked really well. The white clouds, I had some trouble when I kept neon tetra first, and then I discovered white clouds, and I do kind of personally like, I have better luck with the white clouds, especially with, I've never bred a neon tetra where I've bred white clouds. So it's a very similar, they're both very beautifully colored. But I feel like the white clouds did really well with the betta. Granted, it wasn't like a forever home, a forever combination. It was a shorter period of time. But the time I had them together was in a 20 long, and it did work. Granted, all of our tanks are planted, so again, that cover does help. But it did work. And they didn't outcompete, because with the neon tetra and the white clouds and things like that, I do recommend one that's not super darty, but when you do feed any tetra or the white clouds, that's when they are a little bit darty, but they still both ate. I didn't have to worry about like the tetra or the white clouds eating up all the food. It seemed like everybody still got along during feeding time, too. Everybody got to eat.
And one more. The one more that I know is quite near and dear to you is your CPDs.
Yes, I love the Celestial Pearl Danios. I love them. Granted, I knew they were small. I knew they were a tiny little fish. But the first time I had seen them in person, I ordered them online and they came in, and I knew they were small, but they are tiny. But even though they are so tiny, they are so pretty. But the ones that I kept when I had them, they weren't super darty and they weren't super skittish. So it was another combination that wasn't forever, but the time that I had them together, it just worked. It seemed like the betta kind of helped the CBDs come out a little bit. They weren't so skittish. But again, feeding time was when they were the fastest, but I didn't have to worry about them picking on each other out. One didn't get to, it just was a combination that just worked.
There wasn't no mm-hmm. over competing for yeah, food. It,
and yet they kind of helped each other because, well, I guess they didn't help each other. The CPDs felt more comfortable because the betta fish didn't have anything to worry about, I guess. So I feel like sometimes I've read and I've heard that they can be a little skittish and you might need like a dither fish or something to help them come out. But it seemed like it, they just worked together and
their dither fish was the betta.
I guess their is what I'm trying fish to say.
That said that, that everything's okay, guys. Mm-hmm. You're good. I'm here. Yeah. It's cool. We got a great home right here.
Yeah.
You guys can come out and eat. It's cool. I'm just going to chill over here.
I don't seem to shuffle fish around so much like I used to, but I do get in periods, like different stages where I'll shuffle things around and try different combinations here and there more than other times and play kind of ring around the rosy with aquarium tank mates and aquarium, like maybe these will do better over here. Maybe I'll try these over there. And it seemed like some of these combinations, even though I didn't have them together long term for a really long time, if I still had them together today, they still would be doing fine.
I will go ahead and put the listeners at ease. When she says not long term, she's talking well over 2 months as she considers not long term. Some of this stuff, when she says not long term, she's thinking she keeps things together for ages, ages. We're talking years. So when she says not long term, she's meaning like, well, she kept them in there for at least 6 months to a year kind of thing.
And then
moved them. So it worked over an expanse of time that the knowledge of that everything is okay was more than well established.
It's just I go through different phases where I just... Sometimes I leave them alone. Sometimes I move the fries. Sometimes I just let them be. Sometimes I'm like,
to the listeners, when you say not long term, you need to have the caveat and the little asterisk of you're not long term is I've tried it for 6 months to a year. Well, whereas someone's not long term could be 1 day, 1 week, 1 month. Well, yours is a little bit stretched out.
Well, I just have no sense of time either. I can't remember if it was a day or a month. I don't know why. I just have a bad sense of time.
I want to reassure the valued listener out there that when you're saying not long term, it's long term in the sense of you've experimented with it for months at a time.
A little while.
but it wasn't long term. That was just because you were moving it somewhere else for another not long term.
Yeah. Well, I guess kind of getting back on topic, I guess we should. Like, there's just, how do I say that? There's like, we recommend this list. It has worked for us. And there's so many different combinations out there that I can't wait to try. I'm excited to try just to, you know, relay, hey, this worked. And just because they say it doesn't work, like my dad has a tank with neon tetra, angelfish, and a betta in there. It's planted. He overfeeds them, like, but somehow it still works. It still works. And with the angelfish, the only time that there was a kind of problem with it was when they had like wigglers, and during that phase they just didn't want anything around them, so the betta just was on the other side of the tank for a little while. But just because we didn't talk about it, or just because we haven't kept it, there's so many different combinations out there that 100% can work. And there's combinations like my dad that on paper shouldn't work, but it does work. And some of the fun is kind of just trying
it
out and seeing.
That's the fun of being an Aquarius, right there.
But just watch, just mainly enjoy the time, keep an eye on them and see what happens. I feel like, again, there are guidelines, the same temperament,
Water parameters.
Water parameters, making sure they don't compete for food, things like that that can set you up better. More water volume, a lot of hiding spaces, just keep the stress low, so keep it with smaller fish. Things like that that can just generally help you out with if you want to keep tank mates with your betta. And there's some like Oscars, our silver arowana. You know, there's some that I would not under any circumstances recommend, because if they can fit in their mouth, they're going to eat it. And some fish out there, like the pea puffer, just because it's small doesn't mean that it's going to work, because they're cute little vicious things when it comes to long, flowy betta fins. So, and there's some like we talked about guppies that a lot of people, or like neon tetra, that a lot of people out there, including myself, say that it does work. And maybe just your particular tank you have, it doesn't work. But you can keep them with shrimp and snails and everything's A-okay. So there's just, when it comes to betta and tank mates, it is possible 100% to keep them in a community tank with, you know, another fish out there. But it just, there's certain things out there that can set you up. And even saying that, it comes down to the betta fish's personality. So we can say it might work and it doesn't. So you just have to kind of know your betta fish and know what you do, some research on what you're thinking about keeping them with, and go from there. And then if it doesn't work, it gives you a reason to get a new tank. So you can have two tanks now.
Well, I'm going to 100% agree and back you on the personality of your betta, because certain things have worked for us just due to the personality of the betta.
Yeah.
The ones certain things that have worked better, certain things have not. Mm-hmm. And that was on a tank to tank basis, yeah, because of the personality of that betta.
Yeah. And during that acclimation process, if, like we said earlier, or I tried to speak earlier, whether it's in the tank first or you're adding the betta to the tank, just that acclimation process, that time where you're watching them kind of interact with each other for the first time, is kind of, for me, the telltale moment of,
yeah, that's your
if it's
sign
going to work. And if they're constantly flaring or just going after the fish bag, whether they're in it or on the outside of it, and they're already showing like stress, then I'll just try a different tank or put them in a species only tank. And sometimes when I've had them when they were younger, they were a little bit more vicious, and as they've gotten older, they mellowed out like me and they were more apt to be friendly towards others. So, you know, there's a lot of different...
Oh, you mean you've mellowed out? I haven't noticed.
I try. But there's a lot of different factors that come with it. But just the fact that I believe so long that it is never possible, you should never try it, I wouldn't recommend... Like, I don't necessarily believe that. I think it is possible, but having more water volume, having a lot of plants, having similar personality traits, and it just sets you up for a little bit more success. But it is possible, 100%. But, you know, it, like we said a billion times, some just don't get along with others and some are okay with it.
Yes. And I think that about wraps up our list, mm-hmm, of everything that we personally have encountered with bettas and tank mates. Or I call a community tank, uh-huh, and that is my personal opinion. People, mm-hmm, say tank mates. I say community tank. Anytime you add over two species of fish in a tank, mm-hmm, I'm calling it a community. That's, mm-hmm, just my logic.
Well, I'm excited to have talked about this with you, and I'm excited to talk about the next topic in the future. So I hope to see you in the next one. And thank you so much for tuning in. And again, thank you.
If you'd like to check this out, mm-hmm, you can check this out on the Science Gal memberships.
Yes. But thank you. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.